Welcome back to Mayo Clinic Radio. I'm Dr. Dawn Davis, sitting in this week for Dr. Tom Scheib.
And I'm Tracy McRae.
Bone marrow transplantation, also known as stem cell transplantation, has come a long way since it was first tried in the early 1900s. Back then, bone marrow cells were given orally by mouth, and that technique didn't work. But after a century of refinement, including overcoming immune system responses that were fought off by the transplanted cells, today, our bone marrow transplants are widely used successfully and treat a variety of cancers and other blood-related diseases and conditions.
We wanted to get an update on bone marrow transplantation, including the growing donor network. Here with the latest on bone marrow transplantation is Mayo Clinic pediatric oncologist, Dr. Shakila Khan. Welcome to the program, Dr. Khan. It's great to have you here.
Welcome, Shakila.
Thank you.
Well, as we've been talking, getting ready, tell me the difference between bone marrow and a stem cell transplant. Are that the same thing?
They actually are, but sometimes people get confused because what we are doing in bone marrow or stem cell transplant is taking stem cell, which is not affected by disease, and putting it in the patient who has a problem with the stem cell. To give you an example, leukemia. There is a problem in their stem cells, which causes the leukemia. So you try to replace it with a normal cell from a donor. So the stem cells are found in bone marrow, cord blood, and peripheral blood. So we have changed transplant phraseology, and we call it stem cell transplant to reflect that it could, any of these three could be the source.
And when you say peripheral blood, you mean withdrawing blood from your artery or vein like you would for donating blood?
Yes, absolutely. That's how it's collected, is like you would go for a donation, but you get some growth factors before, and then you get the collection for stem cells.
What are the most common reasons that people would need a stem cell transplant?
Mostly transplants are done for malignant disorders like leukemias, I think are the main ones, lymphomas, but in pediatrics, we are a little different. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of non-malignant disorders like bone marrow failures, aplastic anemia, immunodeficiency, metabolic disorders. So in pediatrics, it's really a wide range of diseases which can be cured by transplant.
So just a reminder for the audience, leukemias and lymphomas are cancers that occur in the bloodstream and in the lymph nodes, mm-hmm. versus bone marrow failures like you discussed in children is when children being so young, their bone marrow is learning and oftentimes won't do its job correctly because it's still learning. And so a cell type won't grow to then be circulated through the body. Is that what you're, what you mean?
There are cells in our body which mount, make the immune cells, and they are defective in children. And so those are the children who would need a transplant.
So you're putting them, you're taking someone else's cells that are there that the child isn't making and putting them in the child's blood for them.
Yes.
So do you do stem cell transplants differently for adults than you do for children?
Not overall. The factors we have to consider is that in adults, they are older patients, mm-hmm. and they have a different approach than pediatrics because we are trying to cure and give them a longer lifespan. So we have to look at a lot of factors. And I think the risks of graft versus host disease are related to age. So we don't see that as bad in children as in the adults see it. So
talk a little bit more about graft versus host disease.
It's actually very unique to stem cell transplant.
Okay.
And it is because when you're putting normal cells in a recipient who you have made immuno-incompetent, as we call, means that we have wiped the immune system out, the cells from the donor can mount a response on the recipient. And that's why it's called graft versus host disease. Mm-hmm. And so that is, I think, very unique in transplant. And the factors which cause it, our HLA mismatch is the main ones. Mm-hmm. So we try to get the best match donor because of that.
Is that where the blood cells of the person getting the infusion or treatment and the blood cells of the people who are donating it, their proteins don't match and you try to get them as close as possible?
Right. We call it tissue typing to make it simple, and it's a blood test. But even now we can do it from buccal swabs, and you can type the donor and the recipient to see if they're a good match.
So your immediate family members are probably the most likely match for you. Is it your sibling? Is it your mother, your father?
Siblings. With every sibling, you have a 25% chance of having a match. And sometimes we have one sibling and they're a perfect match, and sometimes we have eight and none of them are a match. So it's really hard for people to understand, but it's with each sibling, there's only a 25% chance that you'll be a match to your brother or sister. So that's why 75% of our patients don't have a sibling match, and that's where we go to the NMDP, which is National Marrow Donor Program, which is now called Be the Match Organization, to get these volunteer donors, type them and match them, and you know, they kindly donate to our patients.
I think it's always fascinating to me as a medical provider that you think because you're the mother or the father of the child, that they get about half of your genes. You think of them as being your strongest lookalike, right? Especially when they're kind of like a mini-me or your mini-husband. Good, bad, or indifferent. Right. You got to take it as it comes.
No commentary there.
And you think that siblings, you know, can appear similar or dissimilar or have more traits of one parent versus the other. And it's always fascinated me how, from a genetic standpoint, your sibling is actually genetically the closest related relative to you, not your parent.
Absolutely. I couldn't have put it better, Dawn, than what you did. You get half from each parent, half of the genes, so your siblings are the closest match to you. If you have an identical twin, they are a perfect match.
Sure. So, when you have to go to the donor pool, is it a better chance of success on that, or do you really want to try to have it be someone that is a biological match, that like a sibling?
No, I mean, we first go for the family, mm-hmm. and we type them. If we don't have a donor, that's the next step, is to go for an unrelated transplant, what we call an unrelated donor.
Do things like gender and ethnicity a factor into that?
Yes. If you're a Caucasian, you have an 80% chance of finding a good donor. But if you are an ethnic minority, actually your chances are lower. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Be the Match is focusing on, is the ethnic minorities, to increase the donor pool there.
And is that because Caucasians are more genetically similar to one another, and so we just have more odds of finding someone like us? Or is that because Caucasians have more donors in the pool than minorities, and we need to have minority patients contribute more?
I think the second, it's the latter, yeah. that we have a lot more donors and the Caucasian donors in the donor pool. Sometimes I've had, just to let you know, yes, they are common haplotypes. But even in Caucasians, there are rare types where you can't find a match. So the bigger the donor pool, the better your chances are.
That's why we need more people to be the match.
Absolutely.
We're going to talk a little bit about that in just a bit. We're talking about bone marrow transplantation and stem cell transplantation with Mayo Clinic pediatric oncologist Dr. Shakila Khan. We're going to take a short break.
When we come back, myth or matter of fact, if you've had a stem cell transplant and that one doesn't work, can you have another one? You're listening to Mayo Clinic Radio on the Mayo Clinic News Network.